morning.
Morning.
Is everyone awake?
Yes.
If not, wake up. I'm glad you're all here today. I felt lonely when I'm here by myself. So I'm glad when I have some friends show up. So we are so blessed that you're in church today. Just a couple quick announcements. Remember about your Connect card and your bulletin. Please sign those at least and let us know that you're here. That's our attendance or any messages or your address or contact information that you'd like for us to have. That's how you would relay that to us. So be sure and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate this morning. Today is our fifth Sunday for the United Methodist Children's Home. What an awesome thing. We're soon, I hope, to be able to go up and have a day where we can take the church members up and pay a visit to the children's home. It's an awesome thing. If any of you have been, you know that. And I would encourage you to find it in your heart to drop a little extra in the offering plate for them today as well. A car wash. The Boy Scouts are having their car wash next Saturday, September 6th, from 8 to 12. I encourage you to come out and support our local Boy Scout troop. Ken Chanel will be, he's in the backpack there, he's got tickets, so if you'd like to purchase a ticket for a car wash, or I imagine they can just show up. Is that right, Ken? Absolutely. So support our Boy Scout troop if you would. We'd really appreciate that. Well, summer is winding down. We're looking forward to our fall season and for exciting things going on in the life of our church, so I just ask you to continue to pray for that. And now let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We come into the house of the Lord today to celebrate our Savior Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ordinarily, this would be the time when the choir would be singing the intro. But today we would like you to be the choir. So if you would please stand and join me, the Lord will be on the screen.
Thank you.
you would join me in opening prayer. Gracious God, who created us in God's own image, we are grateful for all that you have done for us, and all that you are doing in us, and for all that you are doing through us. Open our eyes to see your presence among us, moving in powerful ways at all times and in all places. Open our ears to hear familiar words in new ways, ways that will challenge us to become the people you created us to be. Grant us the power and the courage to come out of the darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ, so that we may serve you by serving others. We love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Amen. And now, if you would please join me in a couple of worship choruses. The first one is going to be He is Lord. The second one is His Name is Wonderful. And the third one is My Jesus, I Love Thee. And the words again are on the screen. If you please join me as we sing.
Did they? Michael, I told you to check everyone before they came in. hard to be in what? In church? In the family of God? Did you know we have a huge family? Even if it's just one or two people in your family, what's your bigger family like? Are all of these people your family out here? We talked about that a lot in confirmation class during the last couple of months, haven't we? We talked about family and how family is how we're all connected to one another. That's pretty cool to think we have a huge family, right? Nice, nice. Well, if we don't need a special card or an identification card or something, how do other people know that we're part of this family? How would they know that? How would they? Do you know? How do people know we're a family? Do we tell each other we love each other? I'm going to tell a story after a while about a man that I've known for a long time. That his saying was, "Have you been told today?" Now what does that mean? Have you been told what? Does anyone know? Have you been told today? Have you been told today that somebody loves you, that I love you, and that Jesus loves you? Do you think people would know that, hey, there's something different about those folks? If you were to say to them, has someone told you today that you're loved? You don't do that very often, do we? Do you tell your family you love them? Yes. I do too. But not enough, I bet. Huh? Do we do it enough? Do you tell those that you love them enough? Okay, everyone look up. Your shoes are fine. Take a look at me. What do you think? Do you feel pretty confident that those you love know that you love them?
Yes.
Well, how do they know? By your actions? Well, you know, I like to hear it when my wife says, "I love you." Okay, she's looking at her shoes. When I go up and see my 89-year-old dad, you know, I don't think my dad told me he loved me until he was about 80. No, that was probably wrong. About 70, maybe. Did I ever doubt that my dad loved me? Did I ever doubt that, do you think?
What did you do?
What did I do?
Make
him
say it.
You know what? He had a heart attack and he thought he was going to die. So then he thought it was a good idea to tell people in his family that he loved them. Now that's sort of weird, isn't it? We never doubted that he loved us, but we doubted that he would ever tell us that he loved us. Until he felt his mortality being questioned. So that's how we let one another know that we are a family in the family of God, right? Because it's a good thing to tell people we love them, right? So here's your assignment and yours too. Has anyone told you today, "I love you" and that Jesus loves you? Yeah, those two are good friends, so they do tell each other that. So we can live by their example, right? So we have work to do. What is our work that we have to do? I love you. Can you go home today and tell your family, "I love you"? Has anyone told you today that Jesus loved you and I love you? So we have work to do. Is that pretty hard work? Is that hard to do? It's not too hard, is it? Okay. I love you all, and Jesus loves you. I feel the love. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for these beautiful children up here this morning, Lord, and for the fact that you love us. Even with our warts and our scabs and our scars and all those things that bang us up in the world, Father, we know that you love us. And we love you. So, Father, let all of us in this room know that someone loves us and that those sitting next to us love us as well. We We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys get to go with Maria. All right. See you guys. It's nice to hear that we're loved, isn't it? Even if we know it, right? Even if we know it, it's nice to hear. We're going to send out love. It's a time in our service when we lift up our prayer requests this morning to the Lord. And I know that there's many things on your heart today that you would like to take to the foot of the cross. This is the time in our service when we do that. There's some folks I'd like for you to lift up, especially today. Mentioned here, Tom Hart is continuing to recover and try to just basically feel better day to day. The treatments have really been hard on him, and he hasn't been feeling very well. But he's in a 3-month quarantine in his house, so we won't be seeing Tom for a while. But let's continue to lift up Tom in your prayers, and Jane and all the families, they take care of him as well. Sandra Wallace, we continue to pray for her. That's Joan Baker's sister. She's under hospice care. And Joan is not doing too well, Selmer told me this morning, so lift Joan up as well. Don Brown, our realtor, has been helping us with the parsonage over here. Had a heart attack on Friday and had heart surgery, so I guess that parsonage business kind of got to him a little bit. But we will continue to pray for Don. He's done well in his surgery, had quadruple bypass over the weekend, so that's pretty serious. So lift Don up if you would. Clifford Brustia, a friend of Lena's and JFK. Pastor Rachel, our former pastor here, she's been in the hospital for a few days. She's had a blood clot in her leg. She's had hip replacement surgery, but she's continuing to have complications from that as well. Betty Lee Gray, we're going to continue to lift her up. Gary Simmons' mother misses everyone, but she's doing okay. And just continue to lift her up in your prayers as well. Baby Weston Ivy, having some trouble, having health concerns, and hoping for a miracle in his young life, a new morning. Scott Pyle as well, surgery was postponed this past week. Blood work came back. Not where the doctors wanted it. Carl Penny for health issues and finding peace with his diagnosis and care of his mother as well. Dan Walsh will be having eye surgery on Tuesday. We'll let Don up with her. Dan as well. Don and Dan. Continue to lift up Kat and Jesse, transplant children, and praying that they continue to do well. Karen is praising all the blessings that she's received.
Could you speak up louder, please?
Season of her life. Gary, can we do anything about the volume back there?
Yeah,
okay. Yep, so we're continuing to lift up praising for Karen. And the blessings in her life as well. And happy birthday, Polly Short, and blessings and praise for her as well this morning. Know there's many things on your heart this morning as we go down before the Lord. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Gracious God, what an awesome day you've given us, Lord. The love of Christ showers down upon us. Father, let us just soak up that loving feeling that we get from being a child of God. Father, you've heard our requests this morning, those lifted up in prayer and those kept silent in our hearts. Father, we pray your divine guidance and grace in each of these situations. Father God, we are grateful to have a God that loves us, that listens to us, and that answers our prayers. Father, where the prayers are long in coming, the answers, the discernment, the grace, let us have patience and perseverance. Father, we pray to you
and you listen. Father, we pray that God's grace would shower down upon us, that we would continue to feel the love of Jesus in our lives. Father, I lift up our congregation, our church, and our community to you today. Father, as we go through this time of year and things seem to be in sort of a normal routine, we pray for anything but routine in the kingdom of God. Father, we pray for those that have not yet heard the good news. Those just outside of our doors, Lord, that need a relationship with Christ. Father, we pray for them this morning. Father, we pray for the turmoil going on around the world. Father, everywhere we turn, there's tragedy, heartache, and loss. Father, we pray for peace to come over the world. That's a big, big request. But Father, as children of God, we are confident that you are watching over us. We are confident that your grace and mercy is enough for today. So Father, just bless us now as we go throughout our service here. And as we draw closer and closer to our Heavenly Father, let us feel the grace that we don't deserve, which you so freely give. So Father, bless us today. Bless us where we don't deserve it. Now let us pray with the confidence of children of God. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus, enough to raise your name. Jesus.
Receive our tithes and our offerings this morning. We seek your blessing upon them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What that means, has anyone told you today, I love you, and that
Jesus loves you. Person after person after person spoke of how he would meet you where you were. And first of all, say, I love you. And Jesus loves you. He went to every bar and saloon in Okeechobee and sat down with the cowboys. And half the people who showed up at the funeral yesterday, I didn't know they had so many cowboy hats and boots still out here. But he was a beloved person. And as I got to sit with him on a few occasions, I became his best friend. Do you believe that? I was his best friend. And those of you who know him probably felt the same way. I'll tell you, hopefully, a quick little story. In about 2005 or so, we did Emmaus weekends, Walk to Emmaus, if any of you are familiar with that. And he would do one of the clergy talks on the weekend. My very first weekend to serve on an Emmaus team, I got a talk to give, Body of Christ. Who do you think the speaker was before me?
Mickey.
Now these talks should take about 20 minutes, and you're done, and you go on, and the weekend progresses. The talk that Mickey gave that day was his last talk at an Emmaus weekend. He brought his young, he called him his son, the young man that was to take his place at Dunlop, Nick. The man spoke for an hour and 45 minutes. Now that sort of throws off the schedule for the weekend. But you know what? After an hour and 45 minutes, everyone was saying, why are you quitting so soon? He was that kind of a speaker. And this says how good God is. Because me, shaking in my boots, sick for 3 months trying to prepare a talk to give it a mass weekend, I was next. I nearly passed out. I ran over to where we get dressed. I put my nice suit on and went back. I had prepared 25 pages of typewritten manuscript for my 25 minute talk. I came in and I said, I can't follow Mickey Evans. So I gave a 25-page typewritten talk in 12 minutes. I looked at my paper and I read it line for line, bracing for it. Have a nice day. Bye. I could not even stand in his shadow that day. He was a beloved person. That was even before I knew that I would be standing up here today, shaking in my boots still, and nervous and not able to speak in front of people. But doesn't God have a sense of humor? So he took me from that shaky day following Mickey Evans, a beloved man who could speak for hours and you just wanted more, to me, reading 25 pages in 12 minutes. I set a new speed reading record. So I thought, well, how can I weave the story of what Mickey Evans meant to the people that loved him and he loved, and the message that I have for you today is perfect. I guess we should read the scripture. It's in Galatians 3, 25 through 29. This is what Mickey wanted you to know. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now if you belong to Christ, then indeed you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. We have a promise. That's what Mickey wanted to tell us. Jesus has made a promise to us. He has promised to love us. And in turn, we have promised to love one another.
You know, for pastors, ministry is a series of good news and bad news. Do you realize that?
Sometimes we get good news, sometimes the news is not so good.
I left a few scenarios here I want you to think about. The good news is you baptized 7 people today in the river. The bad news is you only lost 2 of them in the swift current. The good news is the United Methodist women voted to send you a getting well card when you weren't feeling well. The bad news is the vote passed 21-20. Good news is the staff parish relations committee accepted your job description that you've written for yourself. They were so inspired that they formed a search committee to go out and try to find someone to fill it. The good news is church attendance rose dramatically for the past 3 weeks. Bad news is you were on vacation. Now we've been encouraged to go back to the Holy Land. Here's a good one. The staff of the church wants to send you to the Holy Land. Doggone it, they have a peace accord over in the Middle East. They want to send you next year, maybe when there's war. So have you ever wondered where you stood with someone? Where do we stand with one another? If you were the pastor of the church that I just spoke of, wouldn't you begin to wonder? In this text today from Galatians, it's Paul asking the same question. Where do you stand? Are we standing on the promise of Jesus Christ? Where do we stand? We need to figure that out. That's what Mickey was saying when he said, has anybody told you today? Are you standing with the family of God? What Paul is talking about in our scripture today is the Judaizers. They were trying to promote their polluted view of the gospel. They were trying to have their way the only way. Galatians have been ready for anything flashy to come by. What can you do for me today? These Judaizers, that was just their style. They got people to come. What Paul is saying here today is the promise that is revealed is consistent. It's yours to claim. It's yours to claim the love of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, many times this whole relationship thing with Christ is described in the terms of an adoption. We got a Facebook message this morning from a youth pastor from one of our previous churches. She got married and moved to Texas. They returned last night from China with 2 little girls that they've adopted. We have all been on the edge of our seats waiting for this day for them. We've traveled this journey with them. Every night we couldn't wait to look at Facebook to see the pictures of the day. They spent 2.5 weeks over there with these children before they came home. They are now a new family in Texas with 2 little girls, precious little girls from China. It was only a short time ago that they were planning on adopting one of the children, the one little girl. The adoption agency called and said, hey, how do you feel about having a second one? I guess it's like a litter of puppies. Sometimes you take more than one puppy home, right? That's what God is to us. We talk in the Bible about being adopted. It's spiritual adoption. You know, we don't talk much about that, do we? Our spiritual adoption. That we've been adopted into the family of Christ. It's a big part of the Bible. In our society, adoption is a legal action. It's saying that you're going to take a child into your home
this child gets all the rights as if it was a natural born child. I think of you sitting in here today that have adopted children, and it's amazing to see families being formed through adoption. But in a sense, we have all been adopted. Do you feel adopted today?
Yeah.
Should it feel good to be adopted? Well, we know for a fact, statistics show us that adopted children sometimes have trouble, don't they? Adjusting to the fact that maybe someone didn't want them, or they were abused or neglected. Whatever this reason is, these children are up for adoption. They're abandoned. Sometimes these children have a problem with that. Do we ever have a problem being in the family of God? Do you ever feel unworthy? Do you ever feel God is not watching us today? I love this quote. It's out of the book, In Mommy's Heart. Dr. Jean Gardner writes of how a first grade teacher was discussing a picture of a family with her class. One of the children in the picture had a different hair color than did the other family members. A little girl in the class said, well, maybe this little boy had been adopted. I know all about adoptions, she said, because I was adopted. Another little boy asked her, what does it mean that you're adopted? It means, said the little girl, that you grew in your mommy's heart instead of her tummy. And the first grader came up with that? Spiritually speaking, our adoption began in the heart of God. It is a result of God's grace. Do we deserve God's grace? Do we? Do we deserve God's grace? Audience participation. Okay, you're awake when we started. Are you now asleep? Some of the Bible's greatest leaders were adopted. Moses, Esther, Jesus, they were all adopted. Why do we have this word picture in our mind? So today we're talking about spiritual adoption in the family of God. And if you knew Mickey Evans, he tried to get everybody in the family of God. You've heard me speak more than once in here. Maybe some of you new folks haven't. But when I was young, a teenager, there was an older gentleman. His name was Alden Haas. And I said he's one of my spiritual giants in my life. He was a spiritual giant in my life, and he never spoke about God. Isn't that strange? That's crazy, isn't it? And you know what? When I stopped and thought about it, because Alden is in my thoughts a lot because he was a man that I wanted to be like. And as we looked at this picture of Mickey Evans on his, I know you can't see it from back there. And I looked at that and I said, that's Alden Haas. These two gentlemen could have been brothers. It's amazing to me that two people in my life that were spiritual giants to me, they nearly looked alike. They could have come from the same family. Funny how God works that way, huh? Maybe you have a story that's similar. In our legal system, adoption is one of the most important decisions that can be made. Mistakes cannot be afforded, can we? We can't afford to make a mistake when a young life is involved. There's no mistake when you've been adopted into the family of God, is there? Is that adoption process open to everyone? Even a drunk cowboy on a bar stool in Okeechobee? Mickey found his ministry
He served the people of Okeechobee. He started a program that's gone worldwide to help people in addiction. But you take him out of Okeechobee County and he was a person out of his element. His daughter told a story of bringing him over to Palm Beach for some event. He couldn't take it. He couldn't stand it. It wasn't his environment. He wanted to get back to his cowboy friends in the woods. So in being in the family of God, sometimes we have to be where we're planted, right? If we try to go places we're not been planted, we're probably not going to be very successful. But our baptism into Christ guarantees us one thing. It's the finalization that we need to say we're in the family. It's our library card. And you would be pretty well put off if you had to check your card at the door when you came in this morning, wouldn't you? I make a joke because I make a joke of a lot of things. But what we need to do to be the member of the family is say, I love you. You know, we say that rather, I've said it rather flippantly here today. But what do most people need to hear? The biggest problems in folks' lives, what would go a long way towards helping them? What is it? Speak up. Dan, help me out here. You've been gone a couple of weeks. I need some help here.
What was the question?
Glad you're back, too. I love you. Thanks. Don't say that. You know what? Sometimes when things just look rotten, all we need is I love you, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. That sometimes makes it all better.
It helps, yes.
There's some things that we're guaranteed through this adoption. It's the right to enjoy a new father. You are all children of God, and your Father will love you. It's a right to enjoy a new spirit, a new attitude. When you're loved, do you have a better attitude?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, check. You have a right to enjoy a relationship of intimacy. Now, what does that mean? It means we have the right to call out Abba Father. Now, what does Abba mean?
Yeah.
Abba is Hebrew slang that only a little Jewish boy can use with his father. A slave was never allowed to refer to his master as Abba. Only a son had that right. When we surrender to Christ, we are given that right to call God Abba Father, to call Him Daddy. Who's your daddy? It also gives us the right to approach the Father at any time. The door's never locked, is it? It's the right to enjoy a new position. We're no longer a slave, but a child. Anyone ever been a slave to something? I've been a slave to cinnamon rolls. If I didn't have a can of those nice cinnamon rolls in the refrigerator, I got nervous tonight. I did a 14-month program out of Compton to rid myself of this addiction. Okay, you're awake again. Good. Galatians 3:26 is telling us that we have a family. We are a child of God. I hope that makes you feel good today. Because everyone needs a family, right?
Amen.
You know, when you talk to people, you say, well, how is your family? Well, you know, I talk to people that don't have any family that they think of. Blood relatives. I hope it doesn't doesn't sound hollow when I say, yes, you do. You have a huge family. We're all family together in this. And you know what? I never thought too much before about saying I love someone, and Jesus loves you too. But I left the funeral yesterday. You know what? They said, don't go home and tell someone you've been to a funeral today. Mickey would slap you if you thought you went home and said, I've been to a funeral today, and it was his. It's a celebration. He hated the word funeral. He hated it. Story here, I don't know, I may have told this before. I have to go back in my memory banks and think, I told him this story before. Story of an elderly man, he had a disabled son. One day when the elderly father died and the disabled son was left being cared for by the servants, while his father was still alive, he had an artist paint a picture of his son. And being very proud of it, he hung it on the wall, a place of prominence. Now the disabled son was dying, and family members could not wait to get their hands on the father's wealth after the son's death. The son finally died, and the attorney was setting everything in order, selling the possessions. All the family came in and wanted something. He said, you go pick one thing that you want. They all went in and tried to get expensive things. But the nurse who took care of the disabled son said the only thing she wanted was this picture the father had painted of his son. As they went over to take the picture down from the wall, they saw an envelope taped to the back of it. And it said, last will and testament of this man who had died. The attorney stopped, opened it up, read it. Tears began to stream down his face as he began to read. Family members, they obviously weren't very happy. They were impatient about what are we going to get. The attorney simply replied, he who loves my son is heir to all that I have. Is that just like our Father? He loves my son. And as the heir, he gets everything. Wow. You know, it's a continuing to grow process to come to realize that our Father in heaven loves us. And to realize the necessity of a family. I know many of you that have told me the church, the people here in this church are my family. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we're called to be. So as I leave this place today, I'm going to take a little bit of my spiritual giant with me, Mickey Evans, the cowboy preacher. He was a Baptist, though. Wait a minute. Is that legal? I'm a Methodist.
We're all one under the eyes of God.
Amen.
Boy, I'm getting some participation now. I knew I'd strike a nerve here with someone sooner or later. Now you can go home.
Okay.
Beverly said that. That's what it's all about, folks. We're in the family of God. We're in this together. We've been adopted. It's now time to leave this place and tell someone that we love them. I hope you do that. Not just today. But let's let Mickey Evans live on in each one of us. Those of you that have never met him, I'll give you a little insight into what it means to be a child of God. Mickey Evans got it right. He told people, he told those scruffy, mangy people that he loved them. And we can do the same thing. And when the time comes, we realize that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Are we still under the law? We have the full rights of children of God. Right? Are you all comfortable this morning with where you are in the family? This is impromptu. If you'd like to come down this morning and spend some time at the altar and ask God, God, can I get in? If you feel that need, this altar is always open. We've been freed. We've been adopted into the family of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I give you thanksgiving and praise for the life of Mickey Evans. Father, he touched my life immensely as a spiritual giant to me. Father, I pray for his family, for his soul today. I know where he is at. There is no doubt. The party has started. Father God, just bless us as we leave this place. Each person in this room to feel the love of Jesus Christ and my love as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Please stand for our closing hymn. Is Christ in Christ there is no east or west. Please stand.
Up. This is not the time to